And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. We were stunned in early 2018 to hear the horrendous revelations about the U.S. gymnastics team. That was when more than 150 women testified at the sentencing of Larry Nassar. Nassar, the Olympic gymnastics doctor who sexually abused patients for more than 20 years. How did he escape justice for so long? How was his appearance as the good guy, the ally, the protector, maintained all that time? And why did people keep trusting him? This past month, Michigan Radio and NPR launched a new podcast called Believe that looked at those and other questions.
You were lucky if you had an injury where you got to go see Larry.
I started seeing Larry Nassar at the age of 8, right here in my hometown of Lansing.
Pain, 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 pain. It comes to me, their pain goes away. Like I've been called the body whisperer.
Larry gave us gifts, backpacks, shirts, a water bottle.
I heard words such as, you'll love him. He can fix anyone or anything.
And that's how I've made my reputation, is very in tune to the person's body.
I remember out of the corner of my eye seeing potentially an erection.
Do you ever get aroused during those exams?
Do I get aroused during the exam?
Yeah. I was like, okay, so we're going to have to do that more.
Nobody was protecting us.
I think my parents believed him.
I knew it was always going to happen.
What if no one believes me? What if everyone thinks I'm lying?
Those fears go through your head the whole time. What if I'm not believed?
Some voices from the new podcast, Michigan Radio and NPR's Believed. Kate Wells is with us, a reporter for Michigan Radio, also producer and co-host of Believed, along with Lindsay Smith. Kate Wells, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Ben.
You are a familiar voice on these airwaves. Yes, the Kate Wells,
yeah.
Formerly of Iowa Public Radio. I want to put this out here, Kate, as you do in your podcast here, that we'll be talking this half hour about some difficult subject matters that may be disturbing to hear by some. And it is definitely something that focuses squarely on sexual abuse. Not easy to hear. Important that you have this podcast going, Kate Wells. We have a few excerpts, but before that, the news team at Michigan Radio began covering this abuse story in the fall of 2016. When those first allegations rose. Tell us, how did it start?
So it started with actually just one woman coming forward publicly. Her name is Rachel Den Hollander. She's probably a familiar face if you've seen any of the Nassar coverage. She's been sort of the leader since then. She came forward in the Indianapolis Star and said, hey, this very prominent Olympic gymnastics doctor, Larry Nassar, he abused me when I was a kid during treatments. And at first, frankly, very few people believed her. There were plenty of folks who thought that she was looking for 15 minutes of fame or she had misunderstood his techniques. And then one by one, the police start getting more complaints from other women and girls who'd been patients of Larry's, who still were patients of Larry Nassar's. And they were saying, this same thing happened to me as well. And that's how you got to eventually, about 2 years later, as you mentioned, more than 150 women and girls coming forward and giving statements in court. And now in the lawsuit with Michigan State University, as former employer, as many as 500 have said that they were victims of abuse of Nassar's as well.
Mm-hmm. You have three episodes of this podcast out. I want to play a little excerpt from Larry Nassar talking about protecting his athletes. But set this up, the first episode titled The Good Guy. Why the good guy?
Because when you've seen Larry Nassar through just like watching him on TV, right? You are in the news. You see, as you see like all perps, you see him in the orange jumpsuit and they've got shackles. And at that point, Nassar looked like very thin and his cheeks were sort of sunken. Like this guy obviously looked like a not good dude. But that is not how he was able to get away with it, right? He was this incredibly charismatic, deeply beloved guy who just was able to win you over so easily. You didn't get a feeling of like this was a smooth talker, this guy was a little creepy. You just really liked him. Mm-hmm. And we had to set that up first for you to understand, why would anybody miss these red flags? Why would anybody not believe these women? because you loved him. And so that's why we wanted to spend the entire first episode just showing you, well before Larry was caught, you know, who was he to these people?
Okay, this is a little excerpt from the first episode of Believed. We're hearing how Larry Nassar, as Kate just mentioned, became such a trusted doctor by the gymnastics community. Here he is talking about protecting athletes, as heard in the podcast Believed.
You have to protect your athletes. You have to let them know that we care. You have to not let them know, but let them feel it. Let them understand it. Let them breathe it. It's there, you know. It's not just a pat on the back. You know what I mean? It has to be sincere.
Larry was the guy who saw you, who protected you. This is how he earned your trust.
And you screw up once with one of those gymnasts, and it'll spread like wildfire. If you do something where you break their train of trust, you're done.
Okay, and that excerpt, Kate, what, you get a cold shiver listening to a man with that conviction saying, you have to protect the athletes.
Yeah, I mean, you listen to this clip, and I think Larry Nassar believed himself. I think there was probably a part of this guy who genuinely thought that that was what he was doing. Obviously, we will never understand, you know, exactly how he was able to have that part of him and yet also be abusing so many. But I think that's something that, for me, really surprised me when I was covering it, is that, like, we talk about this in the podcast too, we all think that we have these really good BS detectors, and that when other parents screw up, we're like, well, I don't know if I would have fallen for that. But the thing is, these guys, they don't show up on your BS detectors. They genuinely believe what they are saying, and so you do too.
Mm-hmm. In your second episode titled How He Got Away, it dives into how such a trusted doctor got away with what he did. And this is, what, over two decades?
Yeah, 20 years at least.
20 years. Comment after you hear this. This is from your podcast, the voice of, is it Brianna?
Brianne.
Brianne, one of Nassar's victims, her mom taken from the podcast Believed.
So I actually called my mom. I left the lunch table.
And she said, Mom, what happened at the doctor's today was terribly wrong. I'm like, what do you mean? And she told me about, you know, how he had massaged her breast, he had put his finger inside of her, he'd had her change her clothes while he was in the room.
She was pretty shocked and said, okay, when you come home from school, we're going to talk about this more.
At home, later that night, Brianna and Ellen sit down. She tells her mom everything.
I think I hadn't fully realized that it was wrong. I felt like it was weird. And I was like, oh, wow, my mom's taking this really seriously.
And I said, well, what do you want to do? What do you think we should do? And she said, I want to go to the police. So, okay, we're going.
From the podcast Believed, Kate Wells is with us, producer and co-host of that podcast, along with Lindsay Smith. So you really put yourself in the shoes of these young women, girls in some cases, and what to do about it, and seeing what parents trusting this doctor, this gymnastics coach.
A gymnastics doctor. Yeah, yeah. And no, they really did. And we also wanted to then also kind of take you through those moments when Larry does get away. You know, Bree and her mom, Ellen, they go to the police. The police have Brianne going for a rape kit exam. She is very convinced that there's going to be a big investigation. But when Larry Nassar comes in for that police interview, he talks his way out of it, which sounds really hard to believe. But he comes in, and he's very good at convincing this detective that what he did to Bree was a medical exam, that he was operating within the pelvic floor. He has these PowerPoints that he's presented at medical conferences, and he essentially blurs the lines and confuses people enough that it's just easier for the detective to assume that this really beloved doctor is doing a medical technique more than that this girl is saying this powerful, wonderful guy sexually abused me. It's just easier and makes more sense in his head to think that it's the, you know, 17-year-old who's confused.
Mm-hmm. And is that the reason in that second episode, how he got away with it? Is that the main reason or are there others?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a big one. It was, as the police themselves say specifically to us in an interview in that episode, they messed up. You know, you get that assumption in your head that, like, there's a misunderstanding. It was confusing, and now we're going to be able to clear it up. And humans just sort of aren't good at then making sure that they dot all the I's and cross the T's. So police didn't take his PowerPoints with these medical exams and bring it to any other doctors. They didn't take any of this investigation to prosecutors. You know, they basically just said, well, you've got a PowerPoint and we're going to call it a day. And Ben, the thing about this is that, like, we can hear this and think, well, that sounds bananas and what a terrible thing. Mm-hmm. But this is a pattern that continues for 20 years. It happens again and again and again. These chances to stop someone like this. And it's just mind blowing.
Kate Wells is with us. The podcast is called Believed. Now, we mentioned this before, but it's obviously difficult subject matter. Has to do with sexual abuse. Maybe disturbing for some to hear. We're going to be talking about it for another 10 minutes or so. Kate, the third episode of Believed, the most recent one, is about Larry Nassar's basement. It tells the graphic story of a young woman named Kyle who Nassar abused for years.
I'm sitting on my couch. I've got a blanket up to my chin, up to my face. Larry's sitting across from me and he's saying, no one should ever do that. And if they do, you should tell somebody.
Ultimately, Kyle says her parents believed Larry.
I didn't even recognize the fact that, like, I'm being called a liar. I was just like, what's next? Like, how do I survive this? Because now that I'm a liar, I knew immediately that I was going to be a target from my parents. Now I was a very hideous liar about something that no one should ever lie about.
Kate, how long have you and the rest of your team been gathering audio for this podcast?
About 2 years, that's how long I've been reporting on it. And then we started really just sort of focusing on this and this alone. Really when the sentencings ended last winter. Mm-hmm. So a good chunk of time now.
Mm-hmm. And you've been visiting victims. There are, unfortunately, so many of them. Interviewing mm-hmm. them, what has that experience been like for you?
Well, some of them I had the incredible good fortune to get to know over these last 2 years of, you know, reporting these stories and spending time with them and their families. And if you watch the sentencings, you know, basically, like, the whole nation was rocked by how powerful these women were. They are some of the first women we ever saw. And girls, remember how young some of them were, like, I think as young as 13 when they went forward, who were willing to put their faces and names out there and be very specific about what happened to them. They made it impossible for you to look away from the horrific reality of child sexual abuse. And I think that is what forced people to finally pay attention to this case in a way that they hadn't before. It created the outrage and the empathy that hadn't been there before. So you can imagine that these women and their families, I mean, Ben, it has been one of the greatest blessings of my life to know them.
Mm. The reporting here has been magnificent by you and the other members of Michigan Radio. Since story broke in 2016, I understand a couple hundred stories related to this case put out by you and your colleagues. What would you say, Kate, are the takeaways that we haven't perhaps mentioned here? Spotting a predator has to be a takeaway because they don't walk around with signs. In fact, they do everything to be a chameleon to fool you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think for me, the most discomforting thing about this story was this conviction that it would happen again. And I look at what you're seeing in the Greg Stephen case in Iowa, and man, it just feels like this is more common than any of us want to believe. But we have to come face to face with the fact that we are not good at seeing these guys. And every single one of us thinks that we are good at doing it, that we would be able to catch it.
Your new mom, I understand.
Yes, Jack. He is 3 months old, and he's the cutest baby that's ever been born.
A belated congratulations to you.
Thanks, man.
Mother of Jack. Okay. We're going to shift here and talk about this story in connection with raising a kid. You want to protect that kid, be it a young girl, young boy. What can you tell parents after your intimate connection with all these survivors here? What will you be doing the darndest to protect Jack and any other children you may have?
Well, I have suggested to my husband that we put Jack in a basement and we raise him there so that he never knows the outside world. And my husband tells me that that is also illegal and we are not allowed to do that. But in all sincerity, these parents have taught me two things. One, that sad and horrible things happen sometimes, and sometimes parents fail or make mistakes. And their relationships with their children and their lives go on still to be rich and warm and full of love. All of us, you know, have hardship in our lives, and we let that make us stronger. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that just really frustrates me, but I've learned from this, is that there is no silver bullet. Like, I wish there was a thing I could tell you where if you read this handbook, you know, you would now be able to spot it. Or if you did this, then you would always know when a child was reporting to you. The best thing I can say from these parents who seem to have been able to handle this particularly well is you start talking to your kids very early and very honestly, as much as you can. And you make sure that they know this is something that they can talk to you about.
Mm-hmm. And will not be blamed for.
No. And they can be confused and they can be unsure and they can, you know, not have the words for it, and that you won't react in a big, big way. You'll listen.
Mm-hmm. What can be said, Kate, about the state of the victims at this point, the victims of Larry Nassar? I imagine there must be a spectrum, and part of that spectrum you have seen, and how differently these women have processed this trauma and are dealing with it today.
Yeah, you're right. There's a big spectrum. And I think everybody sort of is all over it at all different times. I think women like Kyle and Brianne, who have had more time, you know, I think they're able to sort of figure out how this fits into their perceptions of who they are and what happened. I will tell you, though, that the most surprising thing that I saw was the lasting effect, not just of abuse, but specifically of not having been believed. That in itself is its own trauma. And we saw that again and again with these women. Like, we'd be talking to them even after, you know, Nassar was convicted to prison for many, many years. And we'd be talking to them about what happened, and they'd say things to us like, "You believe me, right?"
Even at this point.
And we were just like stopped in our tracks of like, of course we believe you.
Mm-hmm.
But that leaves such an imprint on you that it becomes a part of the way you think. You just don't trust your gut anymore.
Right. And, of course, that's been a reflection of the national conversation, too, as well. I mean, how often, what very small percentage of men and women who claim abuse were not abused? It's a small, very small percentage, right?
Yes, it's false reports are a very small percent, but often the penalties in terms of jail and prison time for false reports are much longer and higher than even those who have been convicted of sexual assault.
Mm-hmm. How does this story of massive sexual abuse that went on for decades, Kate, fit in with the Me Too stories, the Me Too movement that's been going on for over a year?
You know, these women, they started this before the Me Too movement. I mean, Rachel, when she came out in 2016, she was very much alone. And for a while, I wanted to think that, like, you know, the Me Too movement had made this easier in some ways, or basically that if Rachel came forward today, you know, she'd have a much different experience. But I got to say, I don't know. I don't know if Rachel came forward today, if anything would be different. So I guess I can't really answer that question for you.
Mm-hmm. At this point, we're talking when we have three episodes of Believed online that you can find out about and listen to. What's the extent? What's the planning for the future, the total?
We're going to have about 8 episodes and potentially one episode that just sort of looks at where things stand now.
Mm-hmm. So that is the arc, and it will end with where things stand now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plan.
Okay, good. And this
I'll let you know when we finish making them.
It sounds like it's an all-consuming task. As I mentioned, it's so important, though, Kate, and you are just the one to do it with your sincerity and your dedication to journalism, I have to say.
Well, thank you, sir. That's very kind of you.
Well, we'll say goodbye to you for now, and we'll let our Iowa Public Radio listeners miss you again because your voice is going to be going away.
But it's been nice. Thanks a lot, man.
It's been nice to have you back on our airwaves, Kate.
Thanks.
Kate Wells is the producer and co-host of Believed. It's a new podcast with Lindsay Smith talking about the horrendous revelations about the gymnastics team, the U.S. Gymnastics Olympic team, when more than 150 women testified at the sentencing of Larry Nassar. She's been talking with the victims. It's an amazing podcast. Kate is an amazing producer and co-host of it. You'll want to check it out. Believed, from NPR and Michigan Radio. Well, the 2018 elections could see the highest turnout for a midterm since the 1960s. That, too, was a time of cultural and social upheaval. Well, tomorrow on the program, we'll travel back to historic midterms in American history. That's the plan for Election Day, tomorrow, Tuesday. My guests, presidential historian Tim Walsh and political scientist Kerry Covington of the University of Iowa. We'll look at how midterms have shaped U.S. presidents and their legacies. Hope you'll tune in tomorrow. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Caitlin Harrop, and Emily Woodbury. Also help today from Alyssa Bovinet. Catherine Perkins is our executive producer. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.